Now, Lord, we commit ourselves to you and to the hearing of your word. Tune our hearts and our ears to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever needed to be forgiven? Oh, yeah. Who hasn't? You know, you're in the wrong place to say, nope, not me. Have you ever been asked by someone else for forgiveness? Have you ever refused to forgive someone, whether they asked or not? Okay, that's not the deciding factor, okay? You know, Jesus has a lot to say about this subject of forgiveness. The necessity of having a forgiving spirit and practicing the power of forgiveness in our lives cannot be overstated. It's absolutely essential to our spiritual well-being. The ability to offer forgiveness is not natural. It's not. Our natural selves want what? Retribution. You did that to me, I will get back at you. I'll get even justice must be done. Right? In the wee hours of the night, two nights ago, someone went down the road and took a baseball bat to all the mailboxes. You know, of course, what my first reaction to that was. Give me a baseball bat. You know, like that's the human nature. All right. I would never do that. I would just think it, right? I'm too small. The ability to forgive is divine. It's not from our natural selves. It is part of the reward of trusting and waiting on the Lord in every situation. When we were stepping onto the platform this morning, Marion was just ending the song. I'm missing the last phrase. And anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my care upon you. See, I wasn't missing it after all. It was there. The ability to trust the Lord in every situation that we face, and especially in those really tough times. And especially in those situations where someone deliberately or unintentionally injures us. See, just as by the grace of God we have been forgiven, that's part of the power of the resurrection, his forgiveness to us, so by his grace he can give us the ability and the power to forgive others. This is resurrection power alive in us. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That word as, in that phrase there, means in like manner, in the same way. That adds a little depth of understanding to that, doesn't it? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It means we must if we want to experience the ongoing forgiveness of heaven, right? I don't mean for salvation. I mean for vitality in our spiritual life. Because when you accept the Lord as your Savior and your sins are forgiven, that's a once and for all deal, right? But it doesn't mean we mess up. Now I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit. But that was important to say at that point. Forgiveness and forgiving others is to be part of our lifestyle as a Christian. Forgiveness is the place where heaven meets earth. The forgiveness of sin through Christ is the only way to heaven. The only way to discover and enjoy the abundant life that Jesus promised and desires for each of his own. Last week we were looking at John chapter 15, where Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off Every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And the challenge that we ended the message with was to ask the Lord if there's anything in your life that is choking off his working presence in your life.
Okay.
And I pray that that's something, that that's an exercise that you have been doing through the week, or just looking to see if, you know, there are areas of your life where the Lord just isn't able to be at work because of something that is choking the work of the Holy Spirit off. In the next verse in John 15:3 that we looked at, Jesus said to his disciples, as he says to you and to me, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And we looked at that word clean, and that word literally means pruning. Okay? You have already been pruned. His work is there, and but there's an ongoing pruning that's necessary in our lives. If you've ever had grapevines or other kind of fruit trees or whatever, you recognize that every year there's pruning that needs to be done for the health of that tree. It's the same in our lives. That's the picture that Jesus was giving to us in John chapter 15. But, you know, maybe there are some branches in our lives that need some pruning. Maybe there are some choke points that need to be dealt with. If we begin to deal with those choke points, it's kind of like, excuse me for mixing metaphors, right? But it really kind of works. It's like turning the tap on in our spiritual life, if you will. You know? So the question is some pruning needed? If so, my encouragement was and is to let the Holy Spirit do his work. To let him have his way with you. Don't be afraid of allowing God to do his work. Here's the deal with God. He gave his best for you, and he desires the best in you. So don't be afraid. Okay? The devil wants us to be afraid of what God wants to do in our lives. One area that can turn the tap off just like that in our spiritual life and become a choke point is this all-important area of practicing forgiveness. Resurrection power within us is the power and the ability to live with a forgiving heart. If there is someone in your past or your present that has hurt you and you have never forgiven them and you're holding it against them, the heavenly gardener has in his hands this morning the pruning shears. And he needs to do his work for your sake. Because it's a dead branch. It's leading to decay. And it's causing you spiritual harm and stagnation. I told you it's a tough message. They come up every once in a while. But you've got to do the tough stuff, right? If that's the situation, deal with it, right? Don't put it off. I implore you. Letting God prune these things out of our hearts is the way to healing and wholeness and getting on to a brighter future. And it's the only way, if you've been carrying around baggage, maybe for years or maybe for just a little time, baggage that you shouldn't be carrying around, it's the only way you can let it go. It's the only way you can let it go if that baggage is related to unforgiveness in your heart. Understand, folks, that this idea, this practice or lifestyle of living with a forgiving heart is about living in the strength and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about knowing the reality of what it means to be in Christ and having Christ in us. One of the verses that we refer to from time to time in this series is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's read this verse together. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible very clearly teaches here and in other places that we were crucified with Christ on the cross. He took our place. And now in him, we were co-crucified. That's a whole nother subject. But you get the idea. And when Jesus rose from the dead in resurrection power, we rose with him to new life. That's what we celebrate with baptism. You know, you go under the water. That's death to the old. The old self is gone. You come up out of the water. You're raised to new life in Christ. What's our response to that?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah. Well, all of those. Just a little more boisterous. You know, hallelujah, amen, yeehaw. I didn't hear that one come through. It is of great importance, folk, to understand that the power of his resurrected life in us includes the power to forgive others their trespasses against us. That's a real tough part in the Lord's Prayer. But if it wasn't so important for us, the Lord wouldn't have put it in there. The ability and the power to forgive, again, is not natural. It's supernatural. And the point that Jesus was making in the metaphor of the vine and the branches that we looked at last week is this, that all the resources of the Christian life are in Christ. You lack strength? Ask for his. You lack the ability? Ask for his. All the resources of the Christian life are in Christ and in him alone who lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The miracle is that we can live and we are supposed to live by his power, not ours. And it's when, as we discussed last week, we're living in our power. That's when we fail. Who's stronger? Rhetorical question, right? Doesn't need an answer. We know. One of the greatest Old Testament examples of forgiveness is the story of Joseph. And most of you will be familiar with that story, and I'm just going to hit the highlights. You know, Joseph, his brothers were jealous of him because he was a favored son, and so they plotted to kill him and ended up instead selling him into slavery, and he ended up in Egypt. And in Egypt, through a series of events, he ended up in prison. God used his experience in prison to open the door to an interview with the Pharaoh. Get that. And Joseph became second in command in the country. Now I ask you, what do you call that? A miracle? Divine providence? Of course. Only God can engineer stuff like that. A foreigner and a jailbird at that. Becoming the most powerful man in Egypt aside from the Pharaoh. A famine comes and his brothers arrive in Egypt to buy grain. They don't recognize Joseph, but eventually he reveals his identity to them. They learn that this powerful benefactor that has been selling them grain to keep them alive from starving to death is none other than their brother Joseph. And when they discover that, they're afraid. Absolutely afraid, and they cower before him because they knew that Joseph had the power to end their lives just like that. All he had to do was give the command, and they were done. What was Joseph's response? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. You don't know, folks, how the situations in your life that on the surface made it appear to be just the most awful thing anybody could ever go through. And you're going, why am I going through all this? You have no idea what God's intended purpose for you out the other end of that tunnel is. Right? You have no idea what God can accomplish. All he needs you to do is to faithfully walk through the valley. Faithfully walk through the tunnel, whatever it is. Just don't be like the man who once said, how come it is every time I think I see light at the end of the tunnel, it turns out to be a train coming. A life of faith includes trusting that his purposes will be worked out in our lives, even in the face of great trial and tragedy. That's one of the reasons why we need to live as God would have us to live, with a forgiving heart toward those who hurt us. It might be their only means of hearing about grace or experiencing grace, and we don't know what God would want to accomplish. Summed up in this verse, isn't it? Romans 8:28. Let's read it together. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The ability to extend forgiveness is a very important area in our lives, folks. We cannot overrate it. And unless we allow the Holy Spirit to be at work and to give us the power to forgive, it's his presence and power, not ours. And unless we allow him to do that, then his work is seriously hindered in our lives and choked off. I find it very interesting that secular psychology has just recently been catching on to the concept of forgiveness and its necessity in emotional healing. One author, his name lost to me, but I captured his quote, stated this: as recently as 1980, which is fairly recent in terms of these kinds of studies, virtually no data existed on the subject of forgiveness, except here. The prevailing trend in counseling and psychotherapy has long been the talking cure. Victims were encouraged to talk about their experiences, but the element of forgiveness was lacking, so the suffering usually remained. You know, and I don't think that's rocket science. You know, the more you talk about it, the more you live it, right? And you review it. Another author in his article, Should All Be Forgiven, published in 2001 in Time magazine, writes this: a number of psychotherapists are testifying that there's nothing like forgiveness for dissipating anger, mending marriages, and banishing depression. Just a few years ago, says Robert Enright, a psychology professor at the University of Wisconsin and a pioneer in the scientific study of forgiveness, he said, most secularly inclined intellectuals trashed the idea of forgiveness. They said only wimps forgive. Mm-hmm. But now, he says, psychiatrists, medical doctors, scientists, lawyers, ministers, and social workers can all be on the same page. We're really on a roll. Isn't that pretty cool? The rest of the world just got on the same page as ministers. Actually, they got on the same page as this. Right here. Best psychology book on the planet, bar none. The power of forgiveness is first about receiving forgiveness. Receiving forgiveness, of course, is where it begins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I invite you to read it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What were the first recorded words of Jesus from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I wonder if that statement sowed a seed of hope within the heart of the one thief hanging beside him. The other thief was the one who mocked Jesus. But this one didn't. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the second word from the cross was Jesus' answer to him. I tell you the truth. Today, this very day, you'll be with me in paradise. Go like this. Wow. Wow. Think about it. Put yourself there. In the midst of all of the agony and the pain and the suffering that was going on in both of them, they were both being crucified. Imagine how those words of forgiveness and promise sounded to that thief who knew full well what he deserved and knew full well what he didn't deserve. Forgiveness. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Folks, there is no one beyond God's ability to forgive. No one. If Satan has convinced you that God could never forgive you and make you his own, tell Satan to get lost. Get behind me, Satan, because you're telling me a lie, because it's not true. Okay? Forgiveness is the language of heaven. Forgiveness is the activity of heaven. It flows in abundance to those who seek it with a sincere heart. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Thank you. I heard that. Amen. The power of forgiveness is first experienced at the cross. At the moment when one opens their heart's door to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the forgiveness of heaven and the cleansing of soul. That moment of salvation is a once and for all time transaction. It's the gift of God through Jesus Christ. But we recognize that Christians aren't perfect. That we still live in a sinful world and Christians do sin. Not supposed to. But we do, right? Anybody going? I don't see anybody going like this. Here's what we read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Let's join together. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That was my fault. I put the mark in the wrong place on Jenny. And that happens from time to time. He is the atoning sacrifice. I cannot help but take the time, if you could just slip to the next slide, Jenny. Take the time to explain that word, atoning sacrifice. That only partially explains the original intent there in the language in Greek. The old word, if you will, that was dropped because no one understood it anymore, so that's why I'm taking the time, is the word propitiation. So that you have a fuller understanding of what that verse means when Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. It has a twofold meaning. First of all, what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross was the appeasement of God's wrath and holy judgment towards sin. See, God cannot say, well, I love you, so it doesn't matter what you did. The price of sin had to be paid. And only one could do it. And that was Jesus Christ. And what he suffered for you and for me on the cross satisfied God that the price of your sin and my sin was paid for. That was the appeasement of God's wrath and holiness towards sin. Amen? So don't think for a moment that there's something you can do to atone for sin. You can't. Christ did. All you can do is appropriate it to your life by receiving his forgiveness. And then the other idea in this word propitiation is that it provides a covering for sin. A covering, meaning it's hidden forever. It's under the blood of Christ. It's hidden. God can't see it, and it will not be remembered against you if you have confessed it at the cross. Amen? Amen. So if you've done that, it's gone. Let it be gone. Live, folks, in a state of forgiveness. When you mess up, what do? Confess it with a sincere heart, because he knows if it isn't. Confess it with a sincere heart and be done with it. Receive his forgiveness and believe it. Don't let Satan fake you out. He'll try and convince you that you aren't really forgiven. If you have confessed your sin, it is forgiven you by the authority of God's word, I tell you today. It is under the blood of Christ, and it's hidden there forever. Amen? Don't keep digging it up. Then, with that understanding of having received forgiveness, then it's about extending forgiveness. How many times, Jesus was asked, should I forgive my brother? His answer, 70 times 7. That is an infinite number, really, because 7 is the number in the Bible for complete and perfection, and it didn't refer to just the number of times, it referred to the quality of forgiveness. Forgive completely, forgive perfectly. And then also the Bible tells us to beware of the root of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 reads, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Beware of the root of bitterness. An unforgiving spirit results in bitterness. And in Ephesians chapter 4, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Wow. That's powerful stuff, folks. How has God forgiven? Perfectly, completely, so completely he even paid the price. That has powerful implications. And it's at this point that too many Christians choke off the Holy Spirit in their lives because they claim the right of judgment on a person that hurt them. It's not our right. Refusing to forgive someone brings out a root of bitterness. It brings out anger. And it becomes old baggage in a real hurry. That's always a pain in the heart. See, forgiveness is huge in God's eyes. The gift of his forgiveness is made real in us by grace. That's what enables us to live in the joy and the reality of what his forgiveness has done in us and for us. And in view of all that he has done for you and for me, living in the power of forgiveness, folks, toward others is huge, and it's absolutely necessary. I'm stating it several times for emphasis because the key to learning is repetition. I don't want you to miss this. Way too important. The question for us then is there someone in my life that I haven't forgiven? Is there someone in my life? I've been carrying them around with me. Do you get that? You get the irony of that? If you haven't forgiven them, you've been carrying them around. You've been keeping them close to you because you haven't forgiven them and let them go. Is there someone in my life I haven't forgiven? If there is, ask God for his grace and strength. He will give it. He will give you the ability to forgive that person. And even if you can't talk to them, Maybe they're no longer living or whatever the deal is. Maybe you can't reach out to them or shouldn't for one reason or another. The important thing is, here's the key. The important thing is that you take an action of forgiveness toward them. Don't just think about it. Do something concrete to solidify your thoughts. Okay? If you can talk to them, you should. But, okay, it's a means of grace demonstrated, right? But there may be reasons that you can't. So here's what you do. Write a letter as if you were talking to them. Pour your heart out in that letter. Tell them how you felt and how it hurt you. And then close that letter off and say, by the power of Christ living in me, I forgive you because he has forgiven me. And then, burn it. Or bury it. Put a little stick there of reminder. Whatever. But by that action, you will release your hold on that old baggage that's keeping you down. It's one of the questions we said would come up in this series. How to get rid of old baggage. And God, because of your action, will be able to do his work in your heart and set your spirit free. Amen? Amen. That's the power of the resurrection. The living Lord Jesus Christ, resident within us, is the power of forgiveness and the power that sets us free each and every day. Not just from old baggage, but going forward. It's relevant every day of our lives. Here's what he promises to exchange for you. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen? Amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven, We pray your Holy Spirit to descend upon us and enable us each and every day to live in the power of your resurrection, including the power of extending forgiveness to those in our lives that we need to forgive, which is all who hurt us. Father in heaven, we pray this morning that the God of hope would fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit each and every day. To him be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.